So I'm trying to get to TSA, and I'm already having anxiety because of the atmosphere in this airport.
Some thoughts probably should not be said out loud, but I recorded mine.
Hey guys, it's Mara, and welcome to the podcast where I share my thoughts on the internet with all of you. It has been heavy on my mind lately that maybe I changed the intro. Not the intro I just said, the intro that's with the cute little background music. I think I'm going to keep the background music, and I just want to like change the way I say things. I don't know. I think I'm going to say the same exact things, only just with like a different tone to it, you know? So let me know what you think about that. So if you've read the title of this episode, you will know that I flew across the country by myself. My neighbors just slammed like a car door ridiculously loud. I think they are lit on a Sunday. Anyways, I flew across the country by myself, and I want to give you guys a little rundown of my trip, how it went, some of the stuff I saw, and my airplane ride. My airport experience, honestly, completely by myself. Let's just start off with that. Getting there, I flew out of Cleveland, Ohio, which if any of you know Cleveland, it isn't exactly the best. That's it. It's not the best. I wish I flew out of Pittsburgh. I would probably have had a much better time because, listen, I have flown before, but this was my first time being like solely by myself. Like someone dropped me off like outside of the airport, and everything else from that point forward was me, myself, and I. So I get to the check-in where you have to like check your bags in, whatever, and I already checked in on the app. I flew Frontier. Okay, it's not the best, but it's also not Spirit. So I'm in the check-in line, and there is a large group of men, which that alone, terrifying. But they also don't speak English, and I don't know what they were speaking, and they were standing like 2 inches away from me. And I would try to move up a little bit in line, but there's also like a middle-aged dad in front of me, and I don't want to like be in his bubble. But also like these men are gaining up on me, and they're like asking me questions, but they're like talking so fast and like very broken English, and I don't know what to say. So I'm already like a little uncomfortable. And then I see that there's like these check-in kiosk things, but we're all waiting in line anyway to go to a check-in desk. So what is the point of these kiosks? So I decided to be brave. This is the start of my solo adventure, and I'm going to talk to the middle-aged dad that's in front of me. He did tell me that he was going to Vegas, and he goes on many casino trips, and honestly, I hope he won. I did end up playing around with the machine, and the group of men were like hovering over my shoulder watching me the entire time, so I'm like, thank God I didn't have to like put in my personal information because they were right there reading it. And it turned out to be like printing out the luggage tags, like the stickers and stuff. I think it's just a way for the workers at the check-in desk to be like more lazy and not have to print them out. So I print out these stickers, I stick them on my bag, whatever, I go and I check in, we're doing good. But if anyone out there has been to the Cleveland airport, I hope you understand when I say the setup of this place is so inconvenient and so confusing, and the lack of signs is unbelievable. So I'm trying to get to TSA. And I'm already having anxiety because of the atmosphere in this airport. I didn't get to the right TSA. For some reason, the TSA pre-check was like very far away, like a jog away from the normal TSA. But I get there, and like there's no line kinda, and I was kind of expecting a line. I've never been to an airport that like didn't have like a TSA line going on. I don't know. And there is a guy like sitting there on his computer, like kind of just staring at me. So I like go to walk towards him thinking he's going to help me do my TSA stuff. And he points me to this other lady. So I kind of like move over in the line to the other lady. And then that lady yells at me and she's looking at me and she's like, are you with these people? And I'm like, no, like that guy just pointed me to go over here. Like you guys are right across from each other, like a couple feet away, you know, like why is this lady like yelling at me that I'm with them? And I'm like, no, I don't know. And the whole family that she's helping turns around and is like, we don't know her. And I'm just standing there really awkwardly, like, what am I supposed to do right now? And then I look at the guy and then he waves me to go back over to him.
So I go over to him and he's like, well, why'd you go over there? And I'm like, well, I thought you waved me over there. He goes, oh, I thought you were with them. What? I got yelled at because I almost joined someone else's family. And I don't know the problem they were having, but I think I joined their problem on accident. Luckily, the people that were actually doing, like, the bin part, you know, like, take your shoes off, slide your bin, go through the little metal detector thing. Luckily, those people were so nice to me, so, like, I felt a little bit better. But I was also a little, like, disheveled because I got yelled at TSA. But after that, it was smooth sailing. I found my gate. I'm feeling chill. And my pilot walks by, like, I see her go through the gate. And let me just tell you, Margot Robbie look alike. I knew that if I had anyone similar to Barbie piloting my plane, I was in great hands. My flight there was really chill. I just read a book the entire time. Took some aesthetic pictures out the window. I landed in San Diego and I anticipated it being like absolutely insane, and it really wasn't. I just kind of walked off my plane and walked over and got my bags, and we were good to go. I also got Chick-fil-A. Love that for me. But traveling just like resets me somehow. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like a reset button on my brain. Like for that week, I can forget that Ohio Mara exists. I was in full California Mara mode. I was thinking of so many opportunities. I was like, wow, this is making me want to get my life together. I call it the travel reset. I don't know if anyone else has this, but I'll just go and travel. Like my depression goes away. My anxiety is definitely still there, but I just feel like the need to get my life together as I'm like somewhere else, and I can like make lists and make plans and make Pinterest boards, and I have so many ideas and like all the creative juices are flowing and I'm ready to go. So then when I get home from my trip, I'm like, yes, like let's do the dang thing. I've been travel resetted. Okay, before I tell you guys about my plane ride home, let's just talk about California for a second. It was literally stunning. I went all around San Diego, so Southern California. I saw little sea lions, seals. I think sea lions, but they were awfully cute. I went to a cat cafe, which changed my life. I loved it, and I convinced myself that I can start my own cat cafe out there. I literally have like millions of business ideas that I have yet to follow through with any of them. I probably should pick one and run with it. Being able to just be on a Golden Coast beach, that changes you. I've been an East Coast girl for all of my life. This was actually my first time ever going west besides like Indiana, you know, like that's as west as I have went. I signed up for a Barnes & Noble reward point account while I was out there. I could have done that anywhere, but I did it in California. I took lots of little videos of things, so I'm sure you guys saw that all over my TikTok, all over Instagram Reels, and I think the sun just helps, because Ohio has entered its seasonal depression moment right now, and like, I'm not thriving out here. I loved seeing people vlog. Like there was this couple on a jet ski with a selfie stick and a camera, and they were vlogging, and I loved it. Like that's the type of stuff that I'm so into. And it's like everyone out there had their own little thing. It was really nice out there, but my cat's here in Ohio with me and I did miss her. I frequently opened my cat camera app and was feeding my cat treats all throughout the week because I had separation anxiety. I took the cutest Polaroid pictures there, and like the sunset, watching it at Sunset Cliffs, magical. All right, anyway, I could go on, but I think it's time to tell you guys this little story that happened to me on the flight home. So let's start out. I get to the San Diego airport at like 6:45-ish, okay? And this was such an airport experience, let me tell you. Like, this is the most airporty an airport could have ever been. So I get in line to check in. And first off, there's like that stupid kiosk thing again. But I learned in Cleveland that like I probably should go and do this. So I go to the check-in kiosk thing and I'm trying to print out my little sticker tag things, whatever. And it doesn't print. It literally says like, C counter. So I took a picture of it because I know those people up there will have the audacity to be like, go try again. And I'll be like, no, No, I'm on a time limit. My plane will leave without me.
I'm waiting in line, and as I'm waiting in line, these people make an announcement. So they're not starting the flight to Dallas until 7:26 or something like that. Mind you, my plane boards at 8:42, all right? 7:26, 8:42. This is the time frame I'm working with. Let's include line, because like they are kicking everyone out of line. If you're flying to Dallas, you're getting kicked out of line right now. And a bunch of people that are flying to Vegas are now entering the front of the line. So like there's gonna be a wait, but also it's, at this point, I think it's like 7. So I still have like 26 minutes. I go on a little walk. I buy myself a little hoodie. I go on a little walk back and I'm like, whatever. I think now's a good time to like wait in line. And let me tell you this. Before I got in line, I even tried the kiosk again. So I do all of that and it still is telling me to see counter. So I'm like, whatever, I tried. So I'm standing in the line and this lady makes an announcement that if you did not go to this little check-in kiosk machine and print out your tags, that you will be charged $26 just to get a sticker. That used to be their job, like a couple years ago before these like machine things were there, like they just had to do that anyway, you know? So I'm standing in this line, I'm mentally preparing myself for the fact that I'm gonna get out my card and I'm gonna slide it and I'm gonna pay for a $26 sticker that the second that I land, I'm gonna rip off anyway and it's gonna go in the trash. So I wait in this line and it's taking forever. At this point, it's about 7:50 something. My plane boards at 8:42, all right? I thought that I got here early enough that I would have time to get a little snacky snack before I fly to Dallas. I finally get up to the counter and I'm like fully ready to pay this $26, but I'm like trying to explain the situation. I'm like, it kept telling me to like see counter. And like, I really did try. And she's like, oh, it's because you have like a layover connecting flight, whatever. We have to print that out and do it. And they do it. They're really nice. And they say, good luck, go on your way. So here I am sprinting to get to TSA and also mentally preparing myself because the last time I saw TSA, I got yelled at. So I get to TSA and unlike Cleveland, there is a very long line. I should have known San Diego. And you know what? A smart person would have gotten there early like I did. But for some reason, they would not check in like a flight that was happening 2 hours later, which makes no sense because on the app, it literally told me to check in 2 hours before. Like I tried. They wouldn't let me. Where do I complain? You know, like I tried my best. I'm standing in line for TSA and this security officer comes over to me and I'm like, here we go. Like I'm by myself. I'm little. I'm just a little young 23-year-old teenage girl. Why me? Why me? And he hands me this yellow piece of paper and he's like, here, this is like part of like the security thing. We're just doing some searches. Like, is your gate 1 through 18 or something like this? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, here, just take this paper. We're doing some research. Huh? What do you mean we're doing research right now? Why am I being researched? So it's me and my little yellow paper now in TSA. I'm trying to read it and there's like big words. I don't understand, some type of security and then like a wait list and then I don't even know. But I hold my piece of paper and I go through and I scan whatever I need to scan. I give them my license and I go. And they literally make me hold this paper going all the way through everything. Going through the metal scanners, like taking my shoes off. Like I have this piece of paper in hand and then they just take it from me at the end. And like they don't tell me anything. And then I get my stuff and I run to my gate. So I am sprinting. And as soon as I find my gate, I hear an announcement that now they're changing my gate. So I have to turn and go to a different gate after I just played I Spy to find my current gate. And by the time I found it, they already boarded the zone that I was in, but whatever, I just get on the plane. But if you think that I had a normal flight to Dallas, I did not. So the night before that I had to be on the airport, I opened my Frontier app and I changed my seats because I don't want to sit next to anyone, okay? I don't want to have human interaction. I'm antisocial. I don't want to make strange friends, especially not on an airplane. So I changed my seats on all of my flights. And it looks to me like it's just going to be myself in the whole row. I get on my flight to go to Dallas.
And guess what? There's two other people there, and since I was running late, I have to awkwardly be like, hey, give me the window seat. So then these poor people have to get up, and they have to move, and the one girl's wearing, like, these fluffy, like, slipper things and a hair cap. Like, I don't know what she was preparing for, but she looked comfy. And I have to slide all the way in and sit by the window, and, like, I think they were very annoyed with me. The guy next to me starts talking to me. Are you kidding me? This is why I didn't want to sit next to people in the first place. Just, like, mind your business. Luckily, it, like, didn't last long, and he just wanted to show me Dragon Ball Z videos. Like, he downloaded TikToks to watch later. Like, sir, haven't you already seen these? They're, like, 10 seconds long. But he's showing me, like, his collection of Dragon Ball Z TikToks saved on his phone, but, like, it didn't last long. Thank goodness. Land in Dallas, and I just run for my life. And now we are going to point and laugh at me because I did something very stupid. So once I landed in Dallas, I was looking on my phone like, okay, this is a connecting flight, so I have to go to my next gate. No security involved. At this point, I'm starving because I did not have a chance to eat, like, at all, because I was running to find my gate that kept changing. And I was part of a research project or something. I don't even know. But I'm sitting there like, we just landed. I'm trying to see what my next gate is. I get it. I'm like ready to run to see where we're going. And I see where we land and I'm like, okay, I shouldn't have to change terminals. This should be like easy, like on this strip. Like the numbers seem like around where my next gate is. We're going to be good. It took these people 25 minutes to get off of the plane. My seat was like kind of towards the back. So, yeah, I learned that lesson the hard way. Next time I am flying solo, I need to book myself in the front if there's a connecting flight and I'm on a time limit. So I get off and I'm looking at the little signs. Luckily, this airport is also labeled very well. Thank you, Dallas. Please teach Cleveland something. I'm looking to my right and there is like gates 1 through 20. Not that way. So I look the other way and I'm like, I need gates 21. So it's got to be like to my left. I look to my left and it says gates 22 through like 30 something. And I'm like, no way. Where is 21? Like the one gate that I need, where is it at? And I start freaking out and I'm like, I don't know which way to walk because like it's got to be like right here at the edge somewhere. And like, it's only showing me like these intervals and like I don't know where this gate is that I need to be. Is it like on the other side for some reason? Is it at a different terminal? Which at the time I was just in a full-blown panic and I also think I was just like tired and irritated and hungry. So I wasn't thinking of the fact that maybe where I landed was literally also the gate that I was about to fly back out of. Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I look up? Why didn't I turn around? Why did I just stand there and panic? But I did get a sandwich in me, a chicken bacon ranch sandwich from TGI Fridays, and I also bought a stuffed armadillo. Now, I did not experience much in Texas, but one thing that stuck out to me that I did experience, and this interaction that I had with a person, is one that I don't regret, which normally when I have interactions with people, it's against my will. And this one was against my will, but I enjoyed it. So I get my little sandwich, and this old guy in a cowboy hat comes up to me and says, "You look like you know where the Starbucks is around here." And I said, "No, sir. I honestly prefer Dunkin', and I do not know where the Starbucks is. I got here about 5 minutes ago." And he looked at me, he took off his hat, and he said, "Oh, come here, let me show you something." And at this point, I'm like, do I run in the opposite direction, or do I wait to see what this southern man with a cowboy hat has to tell me? But I stayed to see, and he pulls up on his phone a picture of, like, the outside of a Dunkin' cup, the little sticker that shows, like, what you ordered. And he goes, "I took a picture of this so I wouldn't forget. I got it at Dunkin' the other day and it was real good. I liked it. So I took a picture and you should try it. Can you remember this? You should try it." I read it and the man literally had a vanilla bean culotta. It is good, in his defense. It was a good option. I'm glad he got it. Very easy to remember. They actually, I think they have pictures of it on the menu. But God bless him. I loved him. If that is the only memory that I have in Dallas, that's a good one, and I'm happy with that. One thing I made sure to do before I boarded my plane was to go back on the app and make sure no one was sitting next to me. Sure enough, someone booked the seat next to me, so I changed it right there, like 3.5 minutes before I boarded. I did have a very nice, peaceful flight home. There was no one next to me except like across the aisle, but like I don't care about them. Except I did. I did care about them. Listen to me, okay? So I'm sitting down, I'm like playing around with these filters on Snapchat. I'm having a good time. I'm happy because I got food. I'm happy because I know for a fact no one's sitting next to me. And then I see the people sit down across the aisle. And I'm like, this guy looks kind of like an athlete. Like, he looks important. He looks like he should be somebody. But then I'm like, they're also flying to Cleveland. So like, maybe they play for the Cleveland Guardians. I don't know. He was giving me major baseball vibes. I don't know, but I didn't know who this guy was, and I knew that I was about to lose signal, and like, I'm running out of time to Google the entire roster of the Cleveland Guardians, because I swore he played baseball, but he was just built like an athlete, and he was giving me an expensive aura. So I turned my phone kind of like sideways in my hand and was acting like I was looking out the window, and I took a picture of the stranger, okay? Because like, I'm not going to sit there and stare, but also I need to stare to figure out who this person is. So the first like 20 minutes of my flight, I'm like analyzing this photo. I'm like zooming in on this guy's hat, and it says every other Thursday. And like, most people probably would read that and be like, I don't know what that means. But like, for me, in my head, I was like, he uploads something every other Thursday. And I'm like, vlogger, podcaster. I was fully convinced that this guy had a podcast. And like, I wanted to know, because like, was I chasing more clout? Yes. But also, like, I have a podcast, and like, we could be friends, and maybe we could collab on our podcast. And he's also flying to Ohio. So like, connections, you know, it would be nice to network right now on this flight. But also, I don't talk to strangers. So guys, listen to what I did. I opened my laptop because it was in my carry on. And I pull up some sample audios, and I throw it in my editor, and I make it look like I'm editing a podcast, and I angle my laptop so like, if he glances, he can maybe see it and like maybe make a connection and be like, oh, hey, like, you're editing audio and I like have a podcast because my house is every other Thursday and this is my merch. And like, then I was going to make a connection, you know, I was going to network on the flight. And then he gets out his laptop and I'm like, oh, here we go. This is about to be a competition. And I look, and he's editing vlogs. He's editing like TikToks. He's editing video. So I'm like, we gotta change content. But like, lucky for him, I do both. I'm gonna network one way or another. I'm gonna make a friend on this flight. I'm like, this is my last chance. So I close down my sample music edit that I was crafting on the airplane. And I open my video editor, and I realize I don't have a SIM card with me, and all of like the vlog footage I took was on my phone, and I don't have anything to transfer that right now, and I can't like Wi-Fi it or like Google Drive it and like transfer it over phone to laptop. Like, I can't. So what did I do? I pulled up a sample video of like landscape and a band and like random sample videos, and I just like clip them, and then I like write my name over top of it, because like, what am I gonna do, caption this? I don't know what this is. So I'm just like putting my name in different fonts with different transitions multiple times over top of this video, and I spend like an hour of my flight just fake editing in hopes that this guy would be like, oh, what editor do you use? Or like, oh, cool, you make content too? Like, why didn't I just ask him myself? I don't know. All I wanted to do was network, and I did an awful job. And yeah, eventually I just realized I looked like a fool, and I was also like the entire hour just editing the same little clip that wasn't even mine with my name on top of it. And like, he was actually like working, you know, like he was getting stuff done, and I wanted to be involved, and I never got involved. That was my flight home, and then I landed in Cleveland, and sure enough, there was a storm coming, and it was like disgusting and no sun. I literally haven't seen the sun since. I've been home for like a week and a half and have yet to see the sun.
So guys, that was my solo adventure flying across the country by myself. Why I was in California, I was with someone. So like, I don't think that counts as solo because I was accompanied. But like the flying and the airport experience, that was all me, baby. That was my one-man band, my one-man show. So I have a little bit more to talk about this episode. Since I was talking about doing something solo, I wanted to talk about some of the other things I do solo because I grew up an only child and I have some embarrassing stories to share with you guys as well. So I think when you're an only child, you get used to being alone, but also I'm an introvert. I have no idea if that's because I'm an only child or if that's just like who I was as a person. Can you be an introvert and also have, yes, you can. I know introverts with siblings, but like I'm just very introverted and I love doing things by myself. Definitely like on a more serious note here when I'm like going through it, like depression and anxiety, like I like to handle that on my own. I thrive better when I'm alone. My safe spot is my room in my bed by myself, except like the cat's always invited. I love my cat, but, I just love being alone. And when I was a kid, I didn't have friends. When I was a kid, like going to school and stuff, I literally like barely had friends, maybe like one or two. But then like once school was over, like I didn't talk to anyone. Like I was so happy like being by myself and being alone. I'm still like that. Like I almost have to force myself to go out once in a while to like have human interaction because I'm so comfy with myself. So I want to share a couple stories of just like memories that I had from being an only child of just like things that I did by myself that are just like, now that I think of it, I'm like, wow, I was really lonely. But like, I didn't think of it that way. Like, I was happy at the time. I was thriving, just me, myself, and I, you know? So there is this one memory in particular. And before I share this, I just want to clarify. I did like play like a normal kid, okay? When I was younger, I had the littlest pet shops. I had my little ponies. Like, I had the Wii. I had a DS. I played Nintendogs. And I did have like online Nintendog friends, you know, like I had some interaction. Anyway, so this memory in particular, I had a bunch of colored pencils. And maybe this was undiagnosed OCD now that I think of it. Anyway, so I took my colored pencils and I remember I spent like a week doing this. I had like weeks at a time where I like hyper fixate on like things that I was playing with. Like at one point I took my Briar horses, if anyone knows what those are, and I made like a whole farm in my room that also like kind of led out into the hallway. And because it was just me, my parents like kind of didn't care that much, like whatever, I can have a farm in the hallway for the week if I want to. Anyway, so that week's focus were these color pencils. And what I did with these color pencils is first I organized them all. I had all the reds in a group, all the pinks in a group, all the yellows in the group, all the blues, you know? So that makes me think maybe I just had OCD because now my closet is color-coded. All of my drawers are color-coded and like by shapes. So maybe it was that. Here's the thing that wasn't OCD. This was just me being a very imaginative only child. I would take the colored pencils in their color families. Yes, I called them a family, okay? And I would take them and put them all next to each other. And the tallest two were the mom and the dad of the families. So like the yellow colored pencils, I didn't have like as many yellows. So it was like a small family, but like the blue family had like a bunch of kids and stuff. And then I had like the tan colored ones and like there wasn't a lot of those. So like that was a really small family, like with only two kids. And then I got excited. I had like these metallic-y colored pencil looking things. And there was like only one small one in those. And I was like, oh, this one's my family. This is like the only child family. So they got like the coolest house, which like the houses were like those little pencil grippy things. And I would just like stick them in the holders. And then that was them like in their house. And I literally played like house sort of with these colored pencils and they had different families. And I remember using my Barbie bus to drive around and pick up the little color pencils, and I took the color pencils to school, which was really, they just like sat on my desk for a while, and then I made all the tall color pencils go to work. Yeah, I don't, like I had Littlest Pet Shops, I had Barbies, I had Polly Pockets,
But I spent a week playing house, city, town thing with colored pencils. That's what I did by myself, and I didn't have siblings to make fun of me, so no one told me that I was weird. I was just vibing. Another example of my amazing imagination as a kid, I am gonna get made fun of. Anyway, at one point, I decided that I owned a soup restaurant, only soup, and my only customers were my two dogs. So we were outside and I got these like metal bowl things. I think at one point they had like food in there or something. I don't know. And I would fill them with leaves and grass and mud and sticks and rocks. And like, I was not a very like girly girl. Like I grew up around horses. I was in the mud. I was in the dirt. I didn't care. But my soup restaurant was just water with like rocks and leaves and grass in it. And then I would serve it to my dogs. Thank goodness they wouldn't, like, eat it or drink it. I'd pretend and, like, dump it out. But, I had a soup restaurant in the backyard by myself in the mud. I actually owned a lot of businesses back in the day. Maybe that's why I'm a business major now. Once I took my room, my childhood bedroom, and I transformed it into a movie theater, and I tried to charge my parents to come in my room and watch the movie. And the movie was actually back when they had like the newspaper TV guides and you had cable and it would like tell you what was on at what time. That was the movie showing. Only it was only one channel because it was the channel that I wanted to watch, and I highlighted it and I said, this is the movie that's happening. I made popcorn, I made tickets, I like set up movie theater rows, and I had my TV in my room like playing it. Like I had a full-on movie theater business up in there. And I don't think my parents came to watch, but I did have like some stuffed animals that came to the show. This one is really embarrassing. And honestly, I can't believe my grandparents let me do this. But at one point, I was sitting at the end of my grandparents' driveway with this like bench thing that I was using as a table. And I made a full on big sign. And I was essentially having a lemonade stand, like that type vibe, only it wasn't a lemonade stand. I took leaves and I cut and glued leaves to like sticks, you know, the ones that they come on, except I'd rip them off and then glue them back on. And I was selling flower bouquets, except the flower bouquets were the sticks with glued leaves. And, yeah, I think I called them leaf flowers or something like that for sale. And they were like 50 cents. And I sat at the end of the driveway and like cars actually drove past and slowed down and looked at me. No one stopped. I don't blame them. I needed a sibling to make fun of me and to humble me. And thankfully, my older cousins did eventually. Like, there were kids that I talked to. Hopefully, I didn't show them that side of me. Maybe that's why I had no friends. They're like, yeah, my mom drove past your house on my way home from, like, soccer practice or something. I saw you selling leaf flowers. Imagine. Okay, my last only child story for you guys. This is very closely related to the colored pencil story. Same concept. I had, like, a city. I made little families out of like the colors of this thing, and like I made a whole town, and there was even an obstacle course with this one. I used marbles. I think I got it at a church garage sale, this giant bucket of marbles, and like they came with like those plastic tube things that you put together, and there's like dominoes that you'd stack up and you'd have to roll the marble into the dominoes, and then the marble thing would go through the tubes and like hit this bell thing. It was a whole obstacle course thing of like for marbles. But when they went through that, that was them going to school, I believe, or something like that. When they went through that, I would collect them all and put them in little boxes, like tissue boxes, and then I'd like cut up cardboard and make like tinier little boxes, and those were the houses for the marbles. Like I had Barbies. I had Barbies, I had Polly Pockets, I had actual, like, playhouses. But no, I played with a cardboard box and marbles. What was wrong with me? That's
that's what I did by myself as a child. And like growing up as a teenager, I still did a lot of things by myself, but they were normal. Like I sat on my laptop and I like played stupid games and stuff, but like at least that was kind of normal. Like a lot of teenagers do that. And then I got into dance and horse riding and like made actual friends. But yeah, that's what I did as a kid by myself. And now as an adult, I get yelled at in TSA. Well, guys, that's all I have for you today. But don't worry, I have some new episodes coming with some guests that will be quite long. But the solo episodes I like to keep a little shorter because it's just me talking to myself. Imagine that. And to get you guys excited, the full month of October, I will be having episodes every week for spooky season. I am so excited to have another spooky season. The entire month is going to be co-hosted by my cousin Allie. We literally met today, had a little brunch, and planned the entire month of content out. So look forward to that. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you haven't, please give this podcast a rate on your streaming platform and follow the Instagram page at @_thoughtspodcast. If you guys have embarrassing childhood stories, please send them to me and make me feel better about my colored pencil and marbles. Okay, bye.